Always that awkward moment. Nobody knows what to do. So don't feel bad. I get it. It's okay. How you guys doing? Everybody doing good? Perfect. Amu, I want to honor you guys. Thank you so much. I remember the first time I was at your church. I was sitting in the second row there. And I was blown away by how hungry people were for Jesus. I remember I was here with Bartis and I walked out. I was like, Bartis, these people are really hungry for Jesus. I like this church. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity. And yeah, just thank you for sharing the mic. You didn't have to, but I appreciate it. Then first and foremost, I want to say thank you to my beautiful wife. Stand up, please. This is my wife, Michelle. She's here with us. She's the love of my life. I literally, like, I wouldn't be saved or alive if it wasn't for Jesus and then for her. I got saved on her 21st birthday. How wild is that, right? And it's been a glory ride. And then the rest of my team, you guys stand up quickly. Okay, this is the team. And so we're from Fire and Fragrance. And before I get going, I want to pray because I need it. And then we're going to hear what the Lord is saying. So Jesus, I thank you. You are worthy, Lord. Thank you, God, that we have the privilege of loving you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you indwell us. The very person of God, the one that breathed the stars, that spoke everything into existence, makes his home in me. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome in this place. Thank you that you lead this meeting. God, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. I'm really excited about being here. Everything worked out freakishly good on me, right? So my best friend and my best man at my wedding, Evgia, sitting there at the back, right? Hey, Evgia, hey, Deirdre, gaan jullie? He's actually getting married next Saturday, and I'm getting to officiate their wedding, and it worked out perfectly that it's the same week we needed to be here. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, God must have planned this. Right, there's no other way it could work out. Because I remember I told him, buddy, no matter where in the world I am, I'll come to your wedding. Don't worry about that. So I kind of want to share just a bit about who we are and what is Fire and Fragrance. Sounds strange, but kind of just a small heart piece, and then we're going to talk a bit about mission. And so me and my wife and Yaku, we're the three of us are from Potchefstroom. Potjies, ons is Afrikaans, so kom julle. Ons is soos die Afrikaanse mense wat julle teen ontmoet het, okay? Verstaan, soos ons universiteit is nog Afrikaans, dis hoe Afrikaans ons is. Verstaan, soos dan moet jy weet, dis baie Afrikaans. ons is nog Afrikaans, nê? Nee? So ver ek weet, ja, okay, great. So, but God chose to send us to a different, literally the farthest place on earth you can go from South Africa is Kona. So the shortest way you can get there is, I think, 28 hours of flying. Okay, just imagine that. That's the shortest. If you just don't stop and just keep on flying, it's 28 hours. So me and my wife, we were in Potchefstroom, and I was the student pastor at a church called Resonate, and us and Gili at Shofar there worked very closely together. We're really good friends. And we actually more than work together. We're actually friends. That's the fun part. Like, I love doing ministry and get to be friends with people. Like, that's what I love about the church. We're not a business. We're a group of people that have an awesome dad that just like each other. Right? And we get to be friends with everybody all over the world and just make more friends and invite them into this awesome relationship with an awesome father and see nations transformed. That's simple. The gospel is not complex, right? So we were in Potch for a while, and a group of our friends, we started this worship night, two guys, and everything kind of spilled out of that. And we did a few mission trips. And so I've then done about six or seven mission trips to kind of hard places. So we went to the Amazon, went to Syria, went to Turkey, went to the Himalayas, went to Moldova. But all the other places we went to, we went to missionaries and we saw them being tired. especially the Western missionaries, they were super tired always. And they were kind of like not happy. And it frustrated me. I was like, the King of Glory gave you the privilege of spreading the best news in the universe to people that's never heard it. And you're sad all the time. Honestly, I didn't get it. And I understand it's hard, you're getting persecuted. I get that. But Paul like sang songs in prison while he was getting beaten. You understand? So I didn't understand like why these missionaries were sad. You read about some of the church fathers that while they were being burned, they were singing worship songs, laughing. I'm like, you're not even getting persecuted and you're sad all the time. Why are these missionaries sad all the time? And then we went to Kathmandu, Nepal, and we met with a group of people we didn't know who we were going to meet with. And we met with this group of missionaries from a group called Fire and Fragrance. And I remember this giant walk into a room, literally a giant. Like, I'm not lying, ask Yaku. He's like this big giant of a man. And he looks really scary, and he has a beard, and he's just scary. I remember, like, he was taking us on our trek into the Himalaya Mountains, and I recognized there was something different about these missionaries. They were actually happy, and they were in a really hard place. Anybody that's ever been to Nepal, like, your senses gets bombarded with smells and everything weird. People being burned, when it's just weird, right? And these people were happy. And I remember the group of our friends were standing in a circle. And Tim, the giant, was standing next to me. Calling Tim the giant. And we were holding hands. And he was going to start praying before we hike. And we held hands to pray. And I will never forget this giant man. As he prayed, before he started praying, he said, "My Jesus." And a tear rolled down his face. And he just started singing. And he was just praying, "My Jesus, I love you." And I looked at this man, and the first thought that came to my mind is, why do I never say my Jesus? Why do I just think about Jesus? And this giant was like a 5-year-old kid every time he prayed. He was like putty. He was like melting in the presence of Jesus. And all of a sudden, we met a ton of their other leaders, and they all were the same way. Okay? The men were like teddy bears in the presence of God, soft and tender. Yet they do the craziest radical hike, 140 kilometers, in the hardest terrain on earth with huge backpacks and projectors. But when they get in the presence of Jesus, it just became soft. And their women were tenacious and scary. Their women were really scary. I remembered we met this girl. Right, we just called it a trumpet of heaven because it sounded like heaven was trumpeting every time she prayed. Right, and I remember there's a ton of single guys, and they were like, "Hey, don't you want to introduce some of your guys to some of our girls?" And all of the guys were like, "Uh-uh, we're super scared of those ladies." Like they, and it's not because they were aggressive; it's because their passion for Jesus could not be matched by any love a man could give him. And it was strange for me because now I've been to all of these different organizations doing missions. And now I met this group of people that were happier to be in a stinky place in Kathmandu, Nepal than anywhere else on earth. And I asked myself, what was this? And I started speaking to them, and I remember, I'll never forget it, that Tim said to me, I said, Tim, so what are you guys about? You're different. What is this? And he says, well, Gabe, our founder, Andy, kind of, they realize that when we follow a man's vision, we just follow a man's vision. And when I get tired, his vision will not feed me. But when I follow the presence of God, I'm always fed. So we do not as a ministry follow a vision of any one man. We follow the presence of Jesus wherever we go. And so fire and fragrance, the term fire actually comes first and foremost, I think, from Song of Psalm 8. And I want to read you this. And then I explain a bit, and then I'll go into what I want to say in the sermon. Can you show me if there's 20 minutes? Please, thank you. It says this in Psalm 8, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal on your arm. For love, listen to this, love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire. Listen to this. Its flames are the very flame of God. Then he says, many waters cannot quench this love. Neither can floods drown it. So fire and fragrance, that first part, fire, speaks about the kindling fire, this flame of Yah, this flame of God burning in us. And that flame is not my flame for zeal for God, it's the flame of God's zeal towards me. It's understanding that in my quiet place, in my secret place, above all else, above every ministry, I live to kindle the flame of God within my life. To say that above all else, all that matters is that I know that His zeal towards me is like a fire that cannot be quenched by any amount of water. And I understood the first time, I think, that made fire and fragrance different for me than other missions organizations was that they legitimately valued the great commandment above the great commission. They valued love the Lord your God with all your heart above doing the mission. I remember Tim said to some of our guys, we went out to do ministry once, and he said, yeah, guys, have quiet time. Like, oh, we overstepped the bit. He says, go back to your room until you're done with your quiet time and then you can come out. And he wasn't being mean. He was just really living out their value. Of we value loving Jesus with everything above loving our neighbor. Because if I do not love Jesus with everything, I'm just going to give you my good theological idea. Right? And my good theological idea without the presence of God on top of it, because good theology is important, but with the presence of God and intimacy with it, will not set you free. It will give you a head full of knowledge that will puff you up, and we will just think we're better than other people. But when we live a life saturated in the presence of God, truly knowing Jesus and living out of this place, and then I go do mission, it looks differently. Number one, I'm friendlier. Okay, I'm just a nicer person. Okay, it's important to be a nice missionary. Okay, honestly, sometimes I look at people sharing the gospel, it's like, I don't want what you have. Because you look angry. It doesn't look like you enjoy what you're trying to sell me. You understand? And then secondly, there's power with it. I love that video. That video had me freak out. I was like, can I get that and show it to people everywhere? Right? It's because there's power when we understand that we live from this place of kindling the fire before we are the fragrance to the world. We burn for God before we can smell like something. Otherwise, we will talk about all our testimonies, but our lives will never look like it. And so that's kind of where we're from. So the angle that we bring in mission, the angle of whatever we do is that we love God above everything. And that is from where we start everything. And then we're going to go to the hardest place on earth and see Jesus transform it. So it's really cool. Last quarter, we had a group of about 200 students. None of them were theologians. Well, there might have been one or two. I don't know. But most of them are between the age of 19 and 21, kids, right? And we went to, how many different nations did we go to, Ali? So we went to almost 20 nations, right? 200 people, kids, okay? We saw 42,000 salvations. We had multiple red light districts closed down because the pimps and the prostitutes met Jesus and they just didn't want to do what they did anymore. Now, here's the thing. The police have tried to stop those things. They couldn't. Those kids knew nothing except that love is as fierce as the grave and nothing can separate us from that love. And these kids were burning with a love for God. And when they looked at other people, that burning could be seen in their eyes in the way that they loved other people. And that's what made the difference. So that's kind of who we are. And quick, we're going to be here tonight as well. So that was just the introduction. Amu asked me to do that. So that's why we value, honestly, sorry, before I go on, that's why we value prayer intercession. That's why we're going to do it every morning this week. Right? Is to model this because it doesn't help me talk about it. So we're going to model it every morning at 5:30. Right? And we're modeling for all you working people. Okay? We don't have to get up early. Okay? But we're modeling it in a way to show that how does it look when I live a life that's burning? Right? Intercession is not first and foremost me ministering and praying, God, I rebuke this demon. No. First and foremost, intercession is Jesus. Thank you that you love me. God, I love you. You're beautiful. And in this place of tenderness and intimacy, Jesus might say to me, hey, Gabe, there's a sick guy that you're going to meet today somewhere. His name is John. He has pain, or her name is Sarah. Right? She has pain. I'm going to heal her. That legitimately happened. Right? We walked after intercession time. A different person that heard the name Sarah walked into a hair salon, said, the lady is like, my name is Sarah. Our team was like, oh, let us show you. Here's the picture. We got Sarah this morning intercession. She's like, oh, great, because the strangest thing happened. The moment you guys walked in the room, all my pain left. So when I value loving God the way that He values loving me, and I hear what He says, when I go out throughout the day and just do what He tells me, He does the miracles Himself. Right? The Word of God has the power to accomplish itself. So that what Amu said about that lady, it says when we hear God, it makes things happen exactly, because the Word of the Lord never returns void. It accomplishes what it sets out to do. So please, we invite you guys to come to the mornings, all of you. Okay, let's see if we can have this place full in the mornings of prayer and intercession. Because no revival have ever started outside of prayer. It is not big preachers that bring revival. It is nobodies that learn how to pray that brings revival. Honestly, no big preacher ever brought revival. It was a nobody that got to pray. And then the revival broke out and they became a big preacher. Okay, so I want to show you just a bit about mission and just our heart after it and what we believe the Lord is doing all over the world. And I want to read you this verse, and it's from 2 Corinthians 5, and it's Paul speaking. It says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, so that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and was raised again. Now, this verse, when the first time I read it, I was like, Jesus, but I don't always feel love. So how can it compel me? And as I prayed over this, I kind of thought about something, and it's the following. That you understand that Paul wasn't speaking about that I'm feeling gooey love for Jesus, and that's why I'm sharing the gospel. Okay, so I want to kind of explain to you guys what Paul meant by that. Okay, so there's a verse in Psalm 108 verse 4 that says, God is higher than the highest heavens, which means the following in plain language, is that God is so big He doesn't even fit in heaven. That's just the place where He meets with us when we die. So to make that, to just explain that for you is, if God could fit in heaven, it means that heaven was bigger than God. And there's nothing bigger than Him. So that's how big God is. He doesn't even fit in heaven, right? So that God that doesn't fit in heaven, Psalm 36 says He breathes stars, He catches the oceans into jars, right? That massive God, that huge one that is indescribable. It says mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Right, that God, right? When He comes down, it says the earth will roll up. It will be like, it's just a tapijt wees. That's how big our God is. That God was in heaven one day, and I can just imagine this discussion in the Trinity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I can imagine Michael sitting there, and maybe Gabriel the angel, and Jesus looking down and going like, guys, they're missing it. These humans are missing it, and I love them. I think I should just go down. And I'm seeing like Michael, because he's like the general angel, right? He's like the army guy, going like being kind of angry, going like, Jesus, seriously. Like, did you see Moses? He still struck the rock after he saw all the miracles. Did you see David? Like, he messed up with Bathsheba after Solomon. Like, and I can just kind of see like Michael just naming all the mistakes God's favorites made. It's like, why do you want to go down for them? Like, I just see Jesus going like, well, I love them, guys. And I understand if I don't go down, they will never get it. And all of a sudden, the King of Glory, right? The person that breathed stars, that said, let it be, and that mountain was made. This morning in my quiet time, I saw the mountain. I was like, Jesus spoke once, and that happened. That freaks me out, honestly. Right? That God became a baby and was born out of a woman's body. No C-section, right? He was born out of a woman's body. The God of everything. You understand? Nothing was made or was not made through him. Nothing. He sustains everything by his very being. Was birthed out of a woman. And he was a tiny little baby. And on day 8, by human hands, he was circumcised. Like, he subjected himself to be a baby and cry when he was hungry to be breastfed. The King of Glory did that. You understand? He didn't come onto earth as a 33-year-old. Imagine the humility of Jesus. Imagine the love. Forget, like, I don't say forget about the cross. Really remember the cross. But think about puberty. He subjected himself to puberty. Like, who knows who made fun of Jesus? Because he had pimples. Can you imagine the reaction of heaven when somebody made fun of Jesus, the King of everything, that every knee will bow before? And Jesus is like maybe a 14-year-old teenager, knows that he holds the power of everything in the palm of his hand, and he just takes it on the chin, and he looks at the guy and says, buddy, you have no idea what I'm going to do for you. No sarcasm, no anger, just love. Then that same Jesus grew up, right? 33-year-old, get baptized, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, right? He picks 12 guys. And Jesus starts his ministry. Now imagine this. Somebody comes to George with 100% strike rate. Nobody does not get healed. Can you imagine the lines in this church out for 100% strike rate? Dead being raised, blind seeing, deaf hearing. This is that Jesus. Does all of that. Like it says everybody. Like if you would take all his miracles, they would not fit in all the books of the world. And not just that, he talked with people. Like he didn't fly in on a carpet. He walked and spoke to people. That freaks me out more. He didn't have celebrity status, even though he was one. He's the biggest celebrity that ever lived. All creation will cry out for his glory. If we don't praise him, the rocks will. But he sat down with a prostitute and he asked her, how's your day? He probably talked with one or two and said, I'm sorry that man beat you. You didn't deserve that. That God walked and he did all these things. And the very people that he healed, the very people that he set free, the very people that he spoke with, stood before Pilate and cried out, crucify him. Kill him. And then that King of Glory, the one that breathes stars, doesn't fit into heaven, right? Hands gets like fastgebund. Sorry, I don't know the English word. Sorry, guys. Bound over a thing, right? He gets beaten with a whip that has pieces of bone and glass on its end that it will stick in his back and pieces of meat will be ripped out of it, right? And he gets 39 lashes. Now the reason he does not get 40 lashes and 39 is that 40 lashes equals death sentence. And they couldn't kill him twice because the cross will be once. So think about the ridiculousness of this. This is like typically law, right? You get one less lash. otherwise you're getting killed twice. So the King of Glory takes those lashes, right? And I can imagine he looks up at somebody in the crowd and that same fire of Yah's burning in his eyes. So he looks at people and he's just taking it. And I can imagine Michael standing in heaven with all the host and armies of heaven, that those beasts and the oxes, and they're standing there. And that one angel that in Deuteronomy killed 120,000 people is standing there, and they're like, can we just do something? I can hear Jesus saying, wait, guys, I love them. I love Carlos. I love Amai. I love Efri and Dedra. I love Amu. And I'm taking these whips for them. And Jesus carries this cross, and he's being taken, and they put nails through his feet and through his hands, and they raise him up. And I know you probably know this, but you don't get killed on the cross by like pain. You get killed by suffocation. So what happens is you will hang on your hands and you will get cramps in your pectoral muscles, and it will squeeze closed your lungs, so you start suffocating. Right? And then you have to push yourself off your feet to breathe. Off the feet that had nails in them. So God did that. He took that. And he breathed and he said, Father, forgive them, with that one breath. So when Paul speaks about, for Christ's love compels us, didn't speak about a feeling. Because I don't think Jesus felt like being beaten. I don't think Jesus felt like being made fun of. I don't think Jesus felt like being circumcised by a woman as the King of Glory, or a man as the King of Glory. I don't think Jesus felt like going through puberty. I don't think Jesus felt like being betrayed by his best friends. I don't think he felt like it. So when we speak about missions, and we speak about the love of God compelling us, we're not talking about a feeling. We're talking about, as Christians, we have a revelation of the cross and what God did on that wonderful slash terrible day and what he took upon himself. And I'm seeing myself as a sinner looking at what he did and said, God, how can I stay in my seat? How can I sit at my office at work and go like, oh, it's inconvenient to share the gospel. They might not like me. What? Like, when did the gospel become about what you like or not? I love you. I'm in a good mood. Okay? And I'm saying Jesus is much friendlier than I am. Okay? But the matter of the fact is, that when it says, go into all of the nations and preach the gospel, it wasn't a question. It wasn't like when we feel like it. But when we understand that Paul says, I'm compelled by love, when we start understanding being compelled by love, we understand it's not a feeling. It's a revelation. If you're saved in this place, it means you had a revelation of that to some tiny extent. And we will all forever grow in our revelation of the cross. But Jesus modeled the way of what it means like to live a life on mission. It means like it's about the glory of one that's bigger than I am. So my challenge for all of us this morning is to, number one, understand that being compelled or driven or led by the love of Jesus is not a feeling. Being reminded every single day what the King of Majesty did for you 2,000 years ago. It's when you wake up in the morning, you go to your quiet time to go kindle that fire of love between you and Jesus. It's not like, oh Jesus, I feel your love. It's no, no, no. If this was about a feeling, I would sell myself cheap. 2,000 years ago, a man died a brutal death. It was not just a man. He was the King of Majesty. God, I love you and I thank you that I can just meet with you this morning. And Jesus, today I'm taking up my cross and I'm following you no matter what this looks like. and understand, Jesus, that you paid that price not just for me to come sit in church, though church is the vehicle you chose to change the world, but it's for church to come move out into the workplace, move out to every place on earth so that his name will be glorified. I want to tell two short stories. I might go 1 minute over. There was this group of people in 500 years ago, and they called the Moravians. And I love them. They're my, pretty much my heroes. Somebody spoken about the Moravians here? A little bit? Okay. I'll speak a little bit then. Right? And there were all these different people coming together at this one guy's place, and one day the Holy Spirit fell. And they started 24/7 prayer and worship for 100 years. And how they did that, I do not know. But I know that the core of their revelation was about the love of God. Right? And they were burning as this group of people around the love of God and what God did. And there were 227 of them. And the 227 of them in 50 years, 227 people, right? It's a bit bigger than this crowd. In 50 years, sent out more missionaries than all of Christianity the last 200 years. Because they had the revelation of the love of God, and that the love that compels me is not about my feelings, but it's about what the Lamb did on the cross. And so there was these two guys, one was 17, one was 19, and they wanted to do missions in the West Indies on the slave ships. They went to the slave owner, and the slave owner as well, you get on the boat in two ways, or you're a slave trader, which they could not do because of the conviction, or you're a slave. So like, okay, They went to go pray, and they're like, well, here's what we're going to do, 17 and 19-year-old privileged young men, like, we're going to sell ourselves as slaves. Because being compelled by love is not a feeling. It's a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. So these two young men sold themselves as slaves, and they're standing on this boat. Now, whose mom's in here? All the moms, put up your hand. Hi. Okay. I want all of you to especially imagine this. Okay? They're standing on the back end of this boat. They're sailing away. And these two young men are crying out to their parents so the Lamb might receive the reward of his suffering. Their parents are screaming back to them so the Lamb might receive the reward of his suffering. And they're screaming it back and forth to each other until they could not hear it anymore. 40 years later, Count Zinzendorf goes to that island, and there's, I think, 110,000 people that got saved from those two young men. They gave their lives. Nobody knows where their bodies are. Nothing. The Moravians, when they went on missions, did not take suitcases. They took their coffins with them. Count Zinzendorf was famous for saying the following: preach the gospel, die and be forgotten. Because it was not about my comfort, it was not about how I feel about the matter, right? But I have a revelation of love, which is all the comfort that I need. I don't need a tap on the back from somebody going, well done, buddy. I'll put it on Instagram so you feel important. It's understanding that one day I will step into eternity. My Father will say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. So my challenge to all of us this morning, I'll end with this, is where are you a missionary? I heard this quote from John Piper. It says, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. So either a missionary or you're not a Christian. Right? Let me define the term missionary. One that is sent. It's not us going to different nations, right? My dad, I think, has led more people to Jesus this year than I probably have. He works at Toyota. Okay? My mom the other day speaks in front of groups like this, right? There's Muslims every day. Thing. She prays for all of them. They ask her to pray. Muslims ask my mom to pray in the name of Jesus. Right? The other day, a lady came with TB, has been coughing for 2 years. One of her teachers, my mom works at the Department of Education. My mom just has this overwhelming feeling of love towards the woman, hugs her, prays, God, won't you just please do something? Mom crying with this lady. The next day, the lady comes. The next week, the lady comes back. She says, I'm healed of TB. My mom cried more than she did, right? Because she was just a missionary. My dad was just a missionary, right? My wife here, Michelle, before we did this, she was a lawyer, right? She would share a testimony. When people want to get divorced, she will ask them, have you, like, went to a counselor, right? Yaku here will entertain people when they go hunting before he was a missionary, right? And all of a sudden, like, these older men, when they had a bit too much to drink, they would always tell, like, dirty jokes and cuss. And all of a sudden, like, by day two, they will not cuss around Yaku because Yaku was a missionary. He didn't bombard them and hit them with a Bible, but his life burned for something that was more. And so I know you guys have a call cry for mission in this church. And so my challenge to us today is I want to know, right, who's going to say yes to this call to be a missionary? To some it might be to go to Bangladesh, right? What's the nations? Okay, put it on. Right? To some it might be to go to some of those nations, right? To go to Sri Lanka, to go to Malawi, to go to George, to go to the Transkei. For some of you, it might be that. And I would encourage you to do that. Because an offering might be an offering of your time. To say to Jesus, Jesus, not just my money that I give, but my time, because time I can never get back. As a devotion to show you, God, the rest of my life is yours as well. Some of you, it might be to go full-time into missions. Some of you might be gripped by what God says today, and you will go like, God, like, I know I have to do this till I die. This is it. Some of you would be convicted to say, you know what, I've worked at this place for 15 years. I've never mentioned the name of Jesus. So I want to pray for us. And after I've prayed, there are two sign-up sheets. One is there, one is here, right? And I want you to come to the front and write down your name, your surname, where you're going, your telephone number and your email in front of everybody so we can kind of hold you accountable to what you just heard. Because otherwise you're having an emotional response and nothing might change. We're not here for emotional responses. We're here for people to get convicted by the Holy Spirit and for lives to be changed forever. Your one person standing up might be the reason that a whole region is changed forever. A further thing that we're going to do is we want to challenge you. And don't just write it on here because it's the right thing. If you're going to do it, write it. If you feel God is calling you to share the gospel at your work, I want you to write it on there as well. Because Amu here is going to speak to you and he's going to pastor you through that process. Because that's his job. My job is to get you fired up. His job is to make sure it happens. So here's the thing. I want us really to ask the Lord, God, like, I had a revelation of your love. I had a revelation of the cross. Where are you calling me to be a missionary? Where are you calling me to be on mission? Because it might be to go pray at the mall. Okay, but I want us to sit here. I'm gonna pray for us. And I'm trusting, honestly, I feel there are people that are gonna be sent into full-time ministry. With this, a full-time mission. I want to, if you feel you're called to long-term, skrefet and hakies langsam. Okay. So we can just have a distinction between different people and know how we need to connect with different people. Is that good? Can everybody smile to me quickly? Everybody happy? Okay, praise the Lamb. Let me pray for us. Okay, sorry, one last thing before I pray. Right? Jesus did all that so you could know him, not that you can know the God of your parents. God has no grandparents, he only has children. Which means just because your mom and dad love Jesus, doesn't mean you love him and know him. So I want to know here, if there's anybody that heard today's story about Jesus and they're like, wow, I thought it was a dead religion. I never knew he did all that for me. And you want to choose to make Jesus Lord of your life. I don't mean you just want to pray a quick prayer to have a quick fix. I mean, if you want to choose to make Jesus God of everything and submit every desire, every dream, every relationship to his lordship, I want you to please raise your hand. Okay, so I want to say, I'm gonna clarify it. Sorry, I just thought about something. If you have never decided that Jesus is God of everything, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to count till 10. 1, 2, 3. Don't be shy. You're going to stand in front of his throne alone. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Perfect. I want to pray for us, and then the people that come forward can go on. Then Amma will give it over to you. So Jesus, I thank you. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are glorious. Jesus, I thank you that we can be compelled by your love, Lord. We can be compelled by what you did. We can be compelled by the humility that you showed to subject yourself to all those things, God, that we can know you. And not that just we can know you, but the guy next to me cussing in the office can know you. The guy in Bangladesh and Sri Lanka can know you. That the ISIS terrorists can know you. That Julius Malema can know you. God, I thank you that being compelled by your love is not just a smart idea or a saying. It's a person that lived a sacrificial life that I could know you, and that makes me want to know you more. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll convict every person in here right now that you're sending to a place in Jesus' name. That their hearts will just leap in their chest, God. They're going to want to go like, this is what I want. I knew there's more for me. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you'll speak to hearts right now. I just break the fear of man. I break the fear of failure. I break the fear of finances. Thank you, God, you own everything. Just thank you, God, that people are going to be commissioned today to their workplaces and to the nations.